from 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll begin reading in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14. Let us give our careful attention to God's infallible word. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. We conclude our reading there at the close of that chapter, and we trust that God the Holy Spirit, who is Almighty God, will take his word and minister to our hearts, because he knows all about us. He knows what our needs are tonight, and he is able to meet those needs. And we pray that he would take the word and minister it to us for Jesus' sake. Now, this last verse of the chapter is our verse for meditation. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This is one of the most wonderful verses in the Bible. We have read this verse and we have studied it. We have considered it on various occasions. But as I was thinking about the communion service tonight, it was this verse that particularly came to mind. For he hath made him to be sin for us. You know, it's interesting what the Spirit of God says, that Christ is made. In the Scriptures, we read that our blessed Savior was in eternity past made the surety of a better covenant. He was also made an high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And he was made the chief cornerstone of the church. But you know, it was not just out there in eternity that Christ was made something. In this world, in time and in space, he was made of a woman, and he was made under the law. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that he is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. But all these astounding things that Christ is made for us, of all of them, this one in our text is the most amazing, that Christ was made sin for us. Certainly here is a reality beyond our comprehension. How can we take it in? All that we can really do is admire and look on with a holy wonder. Now, as we meditate on this little verse 21, there are 9 things that I want you to see, but I want to encourage you that there are only 3 things and each has 3 subpoints. So you can be encouraged that this is going to be a rather short message. There are 3 things concerning God the Father. There are 3 things concerning God the Son. And there are 3 things concerning us. And let's look at these. First, there are 3 things concerning the Father. First of all, His sovereignty is clearly seen. His sovereignty extends to those chosen for whom Christ was made sin. Now, it's very interesting that He was made sin not for every individual, but only for those who are made the righteousness of God in Him. For notice what the Scripture says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us." Now, speaking of Christ, who knew no sin, there was no sin in His experience, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And I dare say that there was no failure in the Father's making Christ to be sin for us. There was no failure in Christ actually being accounted a sinner for us, but absolute success. His sovereignty is seen even in His application of this great work that He has undertaken for us. And then, His sovereignty over the law is also very evident. He is the one who has given the law. And He is the sovereign over the law. And He is not controlled by the law. For the law is simply an expression of His holy nature. But His sovereignty is over the law. And we see it in 2 things here in this verse. So that an innocent one would suffer. One who knew no sin. And how is that a legal possibility? That one who is innocent would be made sin and made to suffer. And the second thing we see in His sovereignty over the law, so that we who had sinned are let go free. And how is that? That sinners and criminals who have broken all of God's law. James tells us, for if we keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, we are guilty of it all. How can God legally let us go free? I say it is by His sovereignty over the law. His sovereignty is seen not only in His dealings in the law, but His sovereignty over Christ's appointment to this word. Now, His sovereignty over Christ, He made Him to be sin for us. Nobody else could make Christ do that. Only God the Father could make Him to be sin for us. No one else could. And so I say that Christ was the Father's servant. Now as we come to the Lord's table tonight, let us bow down and worship God's sovereignty in the Lord's Supper. He is the sovereign God who has provided such glorious salvation for us and this remembrance of our Savior and our salvation. The Father's justice is also seen. Not only His sovereignty, but His justice. The Father made all our sins to meet on Christ. Christ was made sin for us. He was made our sin offering. All our sins were laid on Christ and punished in Him. May the Lord help us to remember Christ in His death. For God would not save us any other way than by the death of His Son. So the Father's sovereignty, the Father's justice is seen here, and also the Father's grace, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That we might become the righteousness of God. Literally is what the Greek text says. That we might become the righteousness of God and thus freed from sin. Now this verse shows us these three things about the Father. His sovereignty, His justice, and also His grace. But this verse states three things very clearly about Christ the Son. Notice we have first Christ's innocence, His perfect purity, His absolute holiness. He was pure and undefiled. And what does this verse say about Him? For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. He was not a sinner. He is God in human flesh. He never sinned. What do we read in the Scriptures? It's impossible for God to lie. Jesus Christ is God. It was impossible for Him to sin. What was the temptation showing? The temptation was not showing that Jesus was victorious. It was showing that Jesus could not sin. Now we see His perfect innocence here. Who knew no sin, He was made sin for us. But we also see His sufferings. He was made sin. Whatever the justice of God and the law required was inflicted on Jesus to punish our sins in Him. We were singing those songs. We sang the song about God being estranged from God. God the Son being forsaken. The sufferings of our Savior. And yet, we cannot perceive even the thousandth part of what He suffered. But what little we do know of it, we know that it was unbearable for a human being. And if Christ, in His humanity, had not been sustained by His deity, how would He have endured such awful sufferings? But we see not only His perfect innocence, and His sufferings. Thirdly, we see His merit. His merit is given to our account because He took our demerit. He didn't just take our demerit. He became our demerit. He was made sin for us. What a statement. What a truth. He was made sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Now that is to me absolutely overwhelming. He was made a curse for us so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us. So let us remember Him in the supper. How we came to be made righteous. It is by Christ being made sin for us. He says, "This do in remembrance of me." Let us remember His sufferings. Let us remember His perfect innocence. And finally, this verse tells us three things about ourselves. Verse 21, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us." What does the verse tell us about ourselves? One was made sin for us. Eternal God joined to a true human nature, body and soul. And He was made sin for us. We are sinners. For this reason, Christ was made sin for us. Christ died for the ungodly. We don't read that Christ died for nice people. We don't read that Christ died for good people. We don't read that Christ died for righteous people. But He died for sinners. We as His enemies could only be reconciled to God by the death of His Son, Romans 5:10. And you know, that's most amazing. That Christ did not just die for sinners. He died for those who were in active rebellion against Him. Those who cared nothing for Him and His holiness or His holy law. But praise God, as His enemies, we have been reconciled to God by the death of His Son. We not only see that we are sinners in this verse, we remember in the supper our deliverance. Praise God that we can say with Paul, we are not what we once were. We have been delivered. We are not delivered at all by the intercession or by the merit of some saint or some angel somewhere. No, we are made righteous, the very righteousness of God, only by Christ. Only by Him undergoing the horror of being made sin for us. We are made the righteousness of God in Him. We are delivered. We have a real deliverance in Him. And the last thing is about ourselves. We are brought into a new state before God. We are made the righteousness of God in Him. We don't have to wait for the world to come to be viewed as completely righteous in His sight. Already, if you are trusting Jesus Christ alone as your Savior and Lord, already now in this world, by faith, we have entered into that blessed estate that we could never earn, we could never merit, because Christ has earned and merited it for us. We are made the righteousness of God in Him. Not a mere human righteousness, but this is absolutely overwhelming. God views us in Christ as being as righteous as God Himself is righteous. Think about that. I believe that has a life-changing effect. I believe it has a life-altering impact when we think that though we are sinners, that God views us in Christ as being as righteous as God is Himself righteous. Oh, how we ought to walk, even as He walked. Isn't that amazing? What amazing grace. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Amen. I trust the Lord will bless His word to our hearts tonight.